3. The black-bowed Grabius flew slowly across the recreation of the great sea battles of Octovalane, its shadow falling over the wreckage-dotted water, the sails and decks of the long wooden ships, the soldiers who stood massed on the decks of the larger vessels, the sailors who halted ropes and sheets, the rocketeers who struggled to rig and fire their charges, and the bodies floating in the water. A brilliant blue-white sun glared from a violet sky. The air was crisscrossed by the smoky trails of the primitive rockets, and the sky seemed supported by the great columns of smoke rising from stricken warships and transports. The water was dark blue, ruffled with waves, spattered with the tall feathery plumes of crashing rockets, creased white at the stem of each ship, and covered in flames where oils had been poured between ships in desperate attempts to prevent boarding. The bird flew over the edge of the sea scene, where the water ended like a still liquid cliff, and the unadorned floor of the general bay resumed just 5 meters below, its surface also covered with what looked like wreckage, as though the tide had somehow gone out in this part of the bay but not the other, but which, on closer inspection, proved to be objects, parts of the ships, parts of people, which had been in the process of construction. The incomplete sea battle filled less than half of the bay's 16 square kilometers. This would have been the sleeper service's masterwork, its definitive statement. Now it might never be finished. The blackbird flew on, passing a few of the ship's drones on the surface of the bay, gathering the construction debris and loading it onto an insubstantial conveyor belt, which appeared to consist of a thin line of shady air. It kept beating. Its goal lay on the far end of the double general bay, between this internal section and the bay that opened to the rear of the ship. Damn the woman for choosing to stay at the bows, nearest to where the tower had been. Bad luck, the place it had to be was so close to the stern. It had already flown through 25 kilometers of interior space, down the gigantic dark internal corridor in the center of the ship, between closed bay doors, where a few dim lights glowed and utter silence reigned. A kilometer of air below its gently flapping wings, another above, and one to each side. The bird had looked about it, taking in the huge gloomy volumes, and supposing it ought to feel privileged. The ship had kept it out of these places for the last 40 years, restricting it to the upper kilometers of its hull, which housed the old accommodation areas and the majority of its stories. Gravius had senses beyond those normally available to an ordinary animal, and it had employed a couple of them in an attempt to probe the bay doors and find out what lay behind them, if anything. As far as it could tell, the thousands of bays were empty. That had only taken it as far as the general bay engineering space, the biggest single volume in the ship with the divisions down. 9,000 meters deep, nearly twice that across, and filled with noise and flickering lights and blurringly fast motion, as the ship created thousands of new machines to do who knew what. Most of the engineering space wasn't even filled with air. The material, components, and machines could move faster that way. Gravius was flying down a transparent travel tube set into the ceiling. 9 kilometers of that took it to a wall, which led into the relative serenity, or at least stillness, of the sea battle tableau. It was halfway across that now. Just another 4,000 meters to go. Its wing muscles ached. It landed on the parapet of a balcony which looked out into the rear of this set of general bays. Beyond were 32 cubic kilometers of empty air, a perfectly empty general bay, the sort of place where a normal GSV of this size would be building a smaller GSV, playing host to one which was visiting, housing an alien environment like a gigantic guest's room, turning over to some sports venue, or subdividing into smaller storage or manufacturing spaces. Gravius looked back at the modest tableau on the balcony, which, in its previous existence, before the GSV had decided to go eccentric, had been part of a cafe with a fine view of the bay. Here were posed seven humans, or with their backs to the view of the empty bay, and facing the hologram of a calm, empty swimming pool. The humans wore trunks. They sat in deck chairs around a couple of low tables full of drinks and snacks. They'd been caught in the acts of laughing, talking, blinking, scratching their chin, drinking. Some famous painting, apparently. It didn't look very artistic to Gravius. It supposed you had to see it from the right angle. It lifted one leg up from the parapet and slipped, falling into the air of the general bay. It hit something between it and the bay and fell, bouncing off the bay's rear wall, then off the invisible wall, then found its bearings, flapped close and parallel to the wall, twisted in the air when it got back to the level of the balcony, and returned to it. Uh-oh, it thought. It risked using again the senses it was not supposed to have. Solidity in the bay. What it had hit was not glass, and not a field between it and the empty bay. The bay was not empty, and what it had hit was the field edge of a projection. On the far side, for at least 2 kilometers, there was solid matter, dense solid matter. Well, there you were. The bird shook itself and preened a little, combing its feathers smooth with its beak. Then it looked around, and half-hopped, half-flew over to one of the posed figures. It inspected each one briefly, staring into an eye here, seemingly looking for a juicy parasite in an ear here, peering at a stray hair here, and carefully studying a nostril here. It often did this, studying the next ones to go, the ones who would next be revived and taken away, as though there was something to be learned from their carefully artificial postures. It pecked, in a desultory, barely interested sort of way, at a stray hair in one man's armpit, then hopped away, studying the group from a variety of nearby tables and angles, trying to find the correct perspective from which to view the scene. Soon to be gone, of course. In fact, they were all going, this lot with the rest, but this lot to reawakening, whereas most of them would just be stored somewhere else, but this lot, when they were woken in a few hours, would be coming back to life somewhere. Funny to think of it. Finally, the bird shook its head, stretched its wings, and hopped through the hologram and into the deserted cafe beyond, ready to begin the first leg of its journey back to its mistress. A few moments later, the avatar Amorphia stepped out of another part of the hologram, turned once to glance back at where the bird had hopped through the projection, then went and squatted before the figure of the man at whose armpit Gravius had pecked.